Good to have everyone here. We appreciate you for being here tonight. It seems like we took a long break here, so we're going to do just a little bit of reviewing and kind of catch everybody up where we want to get started. We got a lot to cover. Its thing is expanding and exploding the more I look at it. So we're not officially halfway anymore. I thought we were. I looked at some things this past week. I'm going to tell you, it's incredible. But we have to get this. This is important for us to understand Galatians in light of Torah. We have to get this because the rest of Scripture is going to be clearly understood. We'll see the dots connecting. How many want the dots to connect? Sometimes we have questions. We wonder, what to do about these questions, and we want to be able to answer those questions. So I'm going to back up to John 17. This was the last time we were here. I'm going to read through this. This was so we can get right back to, I got to get to that Ephesians 2. So I'm going to back up. We had this already. You've had these slides, but I'm going to read through them just as a refresher. If you've been, maybe you've been listening to the tapes. If you have, then obviously that's a big help. If you listen to, how many's listened to the tape on intimacy? You listen to that, it's a big help because that, I think we needed to camp there just a little bit anyway. The Lord had this thing worked out because we gotta really get a hold to that. Let me just put this out to you. I'll read John 17 just a minute. By faith, we are saved. The term is said to be born again. But it's not complete. Because it also says we're being saved. If it was complete, we wouldn't get sick. And you wouldn't die. But that's to come. That's the promise. We're going to get there. But by faith, we're saved. Now, when you're saved or have been saved by the price somebody paid, that payment was made by Yeshua HaMashiach. Our heart ought to be in allegiance with Him. Not the world no more. We don't love to sin. But at one time, you did. I did. Because our heart was in allegiance to that realm. And we didn't care if anybody knew it. As a matter of fact, we would call people out on it and say, it doesn't make no difference if you care. And we can settle this right now. That's where your heart was. But now it's in allegiance to Christ. So when you do make a mistake, you feel it. That's how you check your heart. Because nobody can come tell you your heart's right. You check your heart because when you make a mistake, you feel it because the Spirit is right there saying, you feel that, don't you? This is what I'm here for. I'm here so you know that the seal of the Spirit is available to bring you into that perfect relationship that the Son Father has, the koinonia. It's a work in progress for us. But are we saved? Absolutely. But we're being saved also. Does that make sense to everybody? And I mean, this helps people because when you fail, you got a week and you're going to have a failure. The enemy pounds you on and says, you're nothing. You're nobody. You're useless. You'll never make it. The Holy Spirit ain't telling you that. It's saying, you can get out of this. You can make it. It's what I'm here for. You will not be comfortless. I'm here for this purpose. That's the part that we need to encourage church folks about. Because their allegiance, there's folks that don't come to church. And you can fall into apostate. There's no doubt about that. And people do fall into apostate. But there's also some folks, their heart is in allegiance to God still. But they're having a struggle. So next time you get a chance to encourage them, Because they don't love to be where they are. They're miserable where they are. And when you're an apostate, you love where you are. Like it used to be. You loved every moment of it. But when you're not, you know when you're not. And how many know when you were separated after coming to know him and you were in that, you struggled every single day in it. Do you know you were still saved? Because you still had an allegiance to him, but you were struggling trying to get there. And thanks be to God, that one wonderful day, you took another step in the right direction. And you got better with that. Then you took another step in the right direction until you had a distaste for the things that you so easily gave into from before. And you got stronger. It was our journey. Your journey. Well, guess what? Everybody's going to have that journey. And that's as people who's been on that journey and still on that journey, we should make sure we're sensitive to those situations. I mean, understand that there's people out there that need you to encourage them. They need that encouragement. And so we want to be able to be there, right? Well, let's look at John 17. I'm just going to read through this. I just wanted to put that out because this was something that I've been thinking about, what I just shared with you. I've been thinking about this all week. But I'm going to read John 17. I want to just go so we can just be brought back to where we left off. These words spake Yeshua, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Remember, he's been given this power. Given this power. There's a reason he was given this power. He was found faithful. Wasn't born with that power. He was given this power. If you're born with it, you don't have to be given to you. But thou hast given him power. And this is eternal life. This famous, famous, famous verse now. I mean, thank God this is one of your favorite verses now. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true Elohim and Yeshua Messiah, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, that they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Where did he get his words from? The Father. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Notice that. Why is it we need that keeping power? That they may be one, and we're being kept because we're in the journey getting there. I mean, you know, there's been times that maybe you had somebody that you didn't see. You didn't see the things. Like, you didn't see eye to eye. You didn't see that, as it was a disagreement. But once you settled and begin to look at it, and carefully looked at it, and yield your heart to the things of God, and both parties could go away and seek the Lord, come back and see it. This is what's happening to us right now. We're coming to realize that there's things that we didn't see, but he's revealing himself to us. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost. But the son of perdition, which the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Right? Not take them out. As so many say, we're going to be taken out. There's no take out. We're going to be protected and kept by the Father. Isn't that amazing? It's an amazing thing, because a greater miracle is that God shows his benefits to those who are faithful to him. He's got benefits. And the benefits is his protection, his hand upon you, the good Father's keeping his children amidst of the chaos. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. How do we get sanctified? Through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. I mean, thank God that he's praying this long prayer here, because this is the prayer. It's a prayer, the whole thing. Jesus is praying here, and he's not praying for them alone, but for them who will hear their words. Isn't that amazing? That they all may be, they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. Isn't that amazing? That they also may be one in us. So how many see this, a hardness of the Father? Does that mean that we're no longer exist as individuals? No, we exist as individuals, but we're one. That's the same thing he talks about, that the man and the woman become one. And Adam said, now you're bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. We're one. It's not one in the same, but it's one in purpose. It's not one in the same, but one in purpose. Isn't that amazing? Now you're walking together. It says, how can two walk together except they agree? It's impossible if they don't agree. You can't walk together if you don't agree. What if one wants to go left and the other wants to go right? Then you do that. Is that together still? No, you know, you're not together. How can two walk together except they agree? And so if we're going to walk with the Lord, we got to agree with what the Lord says. We can't disagree with him. We can't say, well, I have this idea. Well, remember, it's our ideas that got us where we were in the first place. We're rejecting that. Amen? So, as thou also, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Think about that. That they may be one, even as we are one. According, and I read this, was dealing with intimacy. I'm going to read these slides through. According to the dictionary.com, intimacy is defined as showing a close union or combination of particles or elements, and intimate mixture. Being intimate involves the mixing of our life with another's, a mingling of souls, a sharing of hearts. Think about that. This is something we all long for, because it's how Elohim made us. Right? So Adam's asleep, the rib comes out, he forms the woman, brings her to him, and he says, she is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You're designed to walk and agree with the Father. You're designed that way. But our mind has been led astray by falsehoods, theories, and ideas that don't line up with what the Word of God says. And when we were born, we are born into all those falsehoods. And we are also designed to have an allegiance of our heart, or our heart to cling to something that we can be led by. The world system leads everybody astray. We were once in that, but now we have been freed from that. So that same process is not eliminated. That they might be one as we are one. They come into agreement. So we get saved. What's next? We have to come into agreement with the Word, and we're sanctified by the truth of the Word. And so all of these things come into play. To have an intimate relationship with Elohim means that the deepest parts of you is having a relationship with the deepest part of Elohim. Isn't that amazing? The deepest parts. How many know it's not a superficial thing? If all you do is hang out, it's going to be tough to really get down to it when trouble comes, how you get through it, because you're just hanging out and you don't go past that. You're not looking to go past that, to go deep within. But once you take any couple, the moment they start thinking about each other and what each other's feeling and going through, and it's not just superness, it's not just a flesh relationship. They care about your feelings. And if you're hurting, if you're in pain, you can always tell when that starts to come into play. When it does, you're going to start to understand what this means. The deepest parts of a person is in relationship, not just superficial. So it's not a word, I love you. That could be very, it could be deep, but it could also be superficial. I love you. You know how many men told women they loved them in the nighttime, only to be gone pecan in the morning? That's superficial. There's no meaning there. When it means, you mean something, you're there day in, day out. When it gets rough, you're there. When it's tough, you're there. That's a deep intermixing. It's that mixture that takes place. It's the deepest part of you and the deepest part of him. Same thing with serving God. Let me tell you something. There's no, everything's going to be wonderful because you coming, you finally made up your mind. You're going to get saved and you're going to serve the Lord. And you're now in allegiance with Christ and your followers of Christ. Well, guess what? Stuff still happens. You can have one of the worst weeks you've ever had in your life. It's just every time I turn around, something's going wrong. But if your heart is connected to him, it's not going to change that. You know that this stuff will pass. You might be in it now. It's tough right now, but it's going to pass. And that's how you see it, and you know that. You don't want to throw it away because it's tough. Into me see, we talked about that. And I gave you some of these definitions. You could read all of this as we go down through here. And you notice I was finishing up on the latter part of John. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And when we talked about all of those verses, and I stopped somewhere right up in here. And I wanted to get really deep into Ephesians 2, because it's a critical part of what we're dealing with in the Galatians text. As we look at this Galatians text, we're pulling off that 28 verse. So Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one, aha, in Messiah Yeshua. That's what we're pulling off. That's the verse we're actually looking at. And so I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8, and let's look at it. So we're all one in Messiah Yeshua. So in Ephesians 2, verse 8, he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of Yahweh. It's the gift of Yahweh, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, thank God for the gift of grace. Not a works thing, it's the gift of grace. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua unto good works, which Yahweh hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, here's the thing. The Calvinist and the once saved, always saved mindset, dispensationalism, we'll take some of these verses and say, it didn't really matter what you think. or how your thoughts is, because it's already before ordained, and it just was going to happen. You were going to be saved no matter what. That is not the case. That is not the case, and that's why we can get stuck in dispensationalism, or we can get that Calvinist mindset, or we could say, "Well, I'm saved, so no matter what I do now, I'm saved." And the grace, no matter what sins I get involved in, I'm saved. There's some truth to that, but we have to examine that, because here we have to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to take one verse and isolate that verse. And Paul warned a lot of times of that. Remember, he gives a certainly not anchor. You know, he gives a statement that says, what should we do? Well, one of the statements that fits here is, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Because we're dealing with this grace here. And the answer is, well, certainly not. God forbid that. That's not what we should do. We shouldn't practice that. He's just showing us that this is something that he wants us to understand. Now, in order for you to be saved, if you don't, by your own free will, you have a free will. The word comes to you, you hear the truth. The moment you hear the truth, automatic, there's going to be this comparison that takes place. You're going to compare what you believe, what you've been raised to believe, what you grew up in, whatever environment, whatever culture, whatever that is, you're gonna have that. It's gonna be imprinted in you. You can't get around it. You cannot get around it. Well, your environment and the culture you were grew up in, and you're gonna have that belief system. Then the truth comes. Somebody preaches the gospel, talks about the kingdom of God and the wonderful gift of Messiah who comes and he can redeem us from the curse. He's our Passover lamb. He died for our sins. And we can repent of our sins. And we can follow him. And we make that decision. You make that decision. I make that decision by my own will. I have to decide that. So then my heart, which was in allegiance to my culture, my upbringing, my family, whatever my belief system was, I was in allegiance to that. Now my heart is in allegiance to Christ. Now I got to learn about him. I got to understand what his likes and dislikes, all of those things. So what is Torah? Remember, I gave you that slide. Hopefully you took a snapshot of that. What is Torah? It's his likes. It's his dislikes. Let me tell you something. One of the most liberating things that ever happened to this church is when we started doing Torah portions. It began to fill our every fibre of our being with the wonderful things of God. And you relate to those things. Can you think about that? How many times we could have used that in our past, but we were completely robbed from it? It's not God trying to hide himself from us. But sometimes we're slow to catch on. But he's shouting, listen, I want you to get this because this is critical to you. This is what we find happening when you keep reading it and your passion for it. Listen, there's folks here, you read the Bible and go through the Bible more than you ever did in your life. Why is that? Because there's something about it that you're being drawn to. And so what he likes, you like. What he doesn't like, you don't like. And we're getting closer to him. This is what we find happening in here. So this the fact that you are before ordained, and it doesn't matter. It does matter. You have to choose. And you've been given that power to choose because you walk away from God. Now, once you come to know him and then you reject him after knowing him, that's the apostate. That you don't ever want to go there. That's a terrible place to be in. Then to be comfortable in apostasy is a real terrible thing. And you can get there, but your allegiance will change. You go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the system of the world, knowing that they didn't help you the first time, and they have no help and no help for you in the future. And it's sad to me to see that folks would do that. Terrible. But don't discount, folks. If you get where you're feeling like I'm doing wrong, but it bothers me, there's hope right there. And don't ever forget, you and I were there. We were there one time, and somebody prayed and prayed and prayed, and the Messiah, he kept reaching his hand out, and he kept stretching towards you, and he took you and I by the hand like he did Peter, and he picked us up out of that mess we were in. We can talk about Peter's ups and downs, but his heart was in allegiance to the Messiah. And he was in one of the weakest states of his life when he denied him. And denied he ever knew him. That's a weak state. But that boy was saved to save gets. Do you understand? But he was under an assault. He was succumbed by fear. Can you imagine your life being on the line? He wasn't there yet. But little did he know he would get there one day. One day he offered himself. If you want me, go and take me. And they took his life. But that day he wasn't there yet. But he was saved to save ever gets. Does that help anybody? Let me tell you, that ought to help you. God sees our weakness, but he said you're strong in your weakness. And if we lose heart that grace is not, it can't help us, then we're not seeing what grace is about anyway. He says, Paul said this. He said, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's why I don't like to study too far out. But we're going to get there, and I'm just going to tell you anyway, because it came to me. He said, for this I sought the Lord three times. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You going to make it? If I didn't think you would make it with it, I'd take it out of your life. But I know you can make it. And why did he keep it? So he wouldn't elevate above what he should have been. There's nothing that you struggle more with than when you pray for somebody and they can be healed of the very thing that you're never healed from. That'll bug you. But if he wanted it all to come to pass, it would happen immediately. You got to trust him in that. My grace will get you through that. That's a tough spot. When a man's clothes can heal people, yet he's struggling with something. The messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, a demon assigned to his life, and God allowed it. Now, never forget that passage. The messenger of Satan was against him. Sometimes, You might have felt the devil's on my trail. He just won't let me go. Shout hallelujah, because you must be somebody that a messenger of Satan's got to be hounding you, because the moment he slacks a little bit, there'll be so much glory you don't even know if you can contain it. And God will get, he'll protect you. It doesn't matter how many devils in hell is lined up against you. You never forget who you serve. Listen, this got to resonate. The Most High God. You know, if the Word says He's the Most High, you know what I believe? He's the Most High. This stuff, and it has to become real to you. And when it does, there's something about it. And you can't help it. You immerse yourself in it. You can't help it. You look at it and you go, this is more and more and more. And he gives it to us. And it's almost like in these spurts. And you try to get your mind wrapped around how incredible God is. And this is what he's doing for us. Watch this. Verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. What were we? Gentiles in the flesh. When? In times past. Who are called uncircumcision by that which is the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Let me tell you something. Let's make no mistake about this. The Jews made a distinction between them and the Gentiles. And it was known. They made that distinction. We are the Jews, the circumcision, and they are the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, and that was a known thing. It was known and everybody knew it. But Paul's having to deal with both groups. Wherefore, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. Who called them uncircumcision? Them that were circumcised, the Jews. Clearly distinction. You're that group and we are the called ones. That at that time you were without Messiah. At that time, what time? In times past. You were without Messiah. Listen to this. Being aliens of the commonwealth. You were not part of the family. And don't forget it. Were not part. You wouldn't get an inheritance. You wasn't getting anything. No land. No promise. No nothing. Your heart was in allegiance to the system of the world. And without Christ, you had no hope. Being aliens from the commonwealth. When I read this, you can't help yourself because you see the glory of God in it. You were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. You weren't Israel. They would have promised, and you and I weren't Israel. And strangers from the covenants of promise. What were we? Strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Without Elohim in the world. Can you imagine that state? No hope. Strangers from Elohim in this world. That's a terrible place to be in. But that's what happens when you start blending in the 10 tribes. Blended in and became Goyim. Became Gentile nations. Became part of the nations. But how many thank God we have a promise? Because the very next verse will give you a lot to shout about. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh. Where we were? Far off. But we're made nigh, how? By circumcision. Is it by circumcision of the flesh? No. By the blood of Messiah. Because remember the whole Galatians about them saying the Gentiles must be circumcised. Paul says, no. Listen careful. You who were far off, you're made nigh. You coming to become Israel. Not by circumcision of the flesh, but by blood of Messiah. How many thank God? Oh, the blood of Jesus. We better not forget it. Never forget it. Because that's the only way we get brought nigh, by blood of Messiah. How many thank God for that? For he, who's he here? He, Messiah, is our peace. And hath broken down the middle walls of partition between us. Because remember, what we're dealing with in John, his prayer, that they may be one as we are one. If I'm talking about they, I'm talking about more than one. Right? That they may be one as we are one. So we had an issue, but Christ is praying to the Father in John 7. He's praying, he's pouring his heart out. It's one of the greatest prayers you ever read in the Scripture. John 17. He breaks down a middle wall of partition between us. And I want you to go, just keep that thought. Go to Exodus 12:43. Watch this. What did he do? Broke down the wall, the middle wall of partition between us. Let's look at it because we got to see this. We just got finished doing Passover, and we had unleavened bread and first fruits and Shavuot. All those things are wonderful to bring in remembrance of what's actually happened for us. But look at Exodus 12, verse 43. And Yahweh said to Moses, he said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. No stranger shall eat thereof. But every manservant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. Let me see that. He said, right off the front, there shall no stranger eat thereof. That's you and I out. Right there. But every man's servant that is bought for money, keep that in mind. You might want to underline that part right there. Bought for money. When thou hast circumcised him, you can buy him for money. So one of the conditions is he got to be bought. Secondly, just because he's bought, he don't qualify. What he has to happen? Circumcised. When you circumcise him, then he shall eat. Verse 45, you ready for this? A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. What are we talking about? Passover. And when a stranger, verse 48, and when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover to Yahweh, let all his males be circumcised. I mean, this is, we're not getting around this. This is what Yahweh is saying to Moses and Aaron. Did I not start with that part? And Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron. And then, after what? Their circumcision. And then, if you read and then, what says next don't count unless you did what says before and then. And then let him come near and keep it. Keep what? Passover. Remember the sub. We talking about Passover here. That's the subject. About dealing with Passover. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. Wow. He shall be as one. Now, we're aliens of the commonwealth. But if he did do this, they're like one born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. That's clear terms. How many see that? Let's go back to Ephesians 2. Back to Ephesians 2. How many, keep that in mind now, what I just read in Exodus. If you back to Ephesians 2. But now in Messiah Yeshua, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh. How? By the blood of Messiah. Remember, he's the bloody husband to me. Who circumcised for me? Christ is the circumcision for all of us. This was not he just died some little humble death. It was a bloody mess. A bloody husband. How many see how all those things tie in? When you read that now, you see where it ties in and how it ties in. How many know that that's important to the Lord? He wants us to know that. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, both of me and made one, and hath broke down the middle wall of partition between us. Now keep that in mind. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now here's where people go and say, well, there you go. Christ come, he just got rid of the law. No. Because in Matthew, he deals with that, I believe it's in Matthew 5. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, right? So what is he talking about? Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the laws of commandments contained in ordinance. Because we have some laws that eliminate anybody who don't follow those procedures to take part in Passover. But when Christ comes, having abolished. Because so that's where the circumcision, this is where Paul, the circumcision part has been abolished because Christ is the circumcision. Does that make sense to everybody? But listen, we got to keep it in the context. Don't, it's not the whole of Torah. There's some laws and commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man. So if this is the case, so you got to get that part of twain, we got Jews and Gentiles. The two got to become one. So the Jew says, well, we got the circumcision, we're good. But that's the one made with hands. They don't have the circumcision, so they can never be in here. And he says, well, they don't need that circumcision. You see the problem? So Paul has to address that, and he says, okay, here's what it means. And he begins to explain it, that the make of himself, of twain, one new man, so make in peace. Now what, verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto Elohim in one body, by the cross, by the stake. That's why he died. Having slain the enmity thereby. That separation, that which was contrary to what God, he slain just one of them? No, both of them. But that enmity thereby. Now watch the next verse. Verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Preaching peace to them that were made nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. How do we both have access. Notice that when he's dealing here, he's not just dealing with one side. He's saying, I'm talking to both sides. The Jew, who's the circumcised, they're born into this family. So they have a legitimate argument that we're born in. Well, Christ says, that's fine, you're born in. But that being born in, the circumcision of the flesh, is not going to get it done. Now, he's going to cover what they need to do in just a little bit. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. I mean, see that. Does anybody see this? We were strangers and foreigners, but now we're not strangers and foreigners. You're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, like one born. Now, what's the qualification in order to be born? He says, if you have a servant that's been bought for money, if you circumcise him, then he can be one like is born in Israel. And he can keep the Passover. That's what it says. Is he undoing that command? No. He said the circumcision is going to be taken care of for you. Christ will be that circumcision. Does it change any other rules? He's not changing the rest. Let me show you why. That you'll be fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of Elohim. Watch this. Verse 20. And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Master, in whom also ye are built together for a habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. How many thank God for that? Very important. Well, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at how that applies. We're going to look at how practical this is when we're looking at this. Very important that we understand this. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, let's look at it together. In verse number 6, it says, your glorying is not good. Your glorying is not good. Why is he starting with that? Well, this is a rebuke. If he starts out, your glorying is not good, meaning you're thinking more about yourself than you ought to. You got the gifts, and you're speaking in tongues, and you got all that, but I also tell you there's fornication happening. So he said, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Uh-oh. That's a rebuke. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I'm thinking, okay, he's getting on to the Corinthians. Purge out Therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. You ready for this? For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let's not forget that. There's a cost here. For even Messiah, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. What are you talking about? It's a great time to talk about this to the Corinthians, because what's happening? Passover. They're keeping the feast. That's why we're keeping the feast. Don't let nobody kid you around. We're doing it. We didn't see it for a long time, but thank God he opened our eyes to see it. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So he says to purge out that. So he's given the opportunity. He's still treating them that they're part of the body, but there's things that they're purging out. They're getting better. They're on that journey. Let's look at Corinthians 11. Let me just deal with that really quick. We'll go through these verses fairly quick. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I wanted to give you the context of what this, because he's still in 1 Corinthians a little bit later, after the fifth chapter, he continues, still in the same thought process. He's continuing, he talks about this in verse 20. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Master's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the assembly of Yahweh and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. I think it's getting a little tight in the church of Corinthians. Got a little quiet about right there. I'm not praising you. That's what he says. So verse 23, I have received of the Master that which also I have delivered unto you. That the Master Yeshua, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it. Notice that. As often as you drink it. So there's an automatic, this statement is a qualifier that year by year during Passover, you do it in remembrance of me. Year by year, there's no stop the Passover because the new church came on the scene. Understand, Corinthians is after the day of Pentecost had fully come. But that's the trick of the enemy to separate. Separate, now we have Christians and Jews. That's a trick from the enemy. And it's worked for a long time. But I believe wake up is happening all over the world. People are coming to realize that was a trick from the enemy. And God is opening the eyes of people. If people want to see, he'll get your eyes open. He really will. If your heart, you have a desire for right. Remember the heart's desire was to do wrong. You got up, you wanted to do wrong. But then you get saved, do you want to do right? But you struggle to do right sometimes. Am I saying the truth? We do. We struggle to do right, but it don't mean that we don't want to do right. That's a heart and allegiance to Christ. We're just getting there. And we will. The more we pursue it, the more we feed the word to us, the stronger we're going to get. How many of you know what happens if you sow to the flesh? What's going to happen? Who's he talking to? He ain't talking to the world because that's all they sow to. He's talking to believers. So during the week, if all you do is sow to the flesh, you're going to reap that sowing. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap that sowing. Every time you get a chance, you ought to be putting something inside of you that's going to lift you up. A song of praise. Scripture verses. How many understand that? There was one tour portion. I listened to the thing three times because there were so many wonderful principles in there. You just listen to it. You get in the truck. What are you going to do? What are you going to think about? You put it on and you're listening to it. If you're sitting there waiting for somebody, listen to something. What are you doing? Sowing to the Spirit. You're going to reap for that. You're going to have insight and understanding. You're going to get up to speak. You're going to get up to share with somebody. Somebody's going to ask you something. They're going to be an instant connection. That's the reaping that's going to take place. you'll be able to minister to that person. Very important. And when he had given thanks, he break in. He said, just do in remembrance of me. Now, I'm going to go through these fairly quick. You can read 11 on your own, but I want to put that in here because I'm going to come back to Corinthians. We're going to look at how that addresses. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the master's death till he comes. So as we're doing this, as often as we're doing it, year by year, we're saying we thank God for Christ our Passover. He's our Passover. And by the blood of Messiah, circumcision has taken place in me. Not made by hands, not the fleshly circumcision. So I'm switching from the covenant, which is the old covenant under Hagar, and I'm stepping into the new covenant under Sarah, from Ishmael to Isaac. I mean, does that make sense to everybody? Very important. You see all these connections. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the master unworthily shall be guilty of the blood and the body and the blood of Messiah. Notice that. Unworthily? What is he talking about here? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. After what? He's examined himself. So it ought to be a conscious thought going into Passover. We ought to be thinking about that. You know, you got this amazing break after the eighth day, the great day, and then we got this break, and all of a sudden, we're going to come into a brand new season. That's what it's about. A brand new harvest, a first fruit, by the way, a first fruit, a barley, and we're supposed to be examining ourselves. That we're saying, okay, I'm thankful. Another year's went by, and I'm so grateful. And we're not left without signs and showing us different things because he spreads them out, right? He spreads out the days, and you get to experience the living under his care. That's what we're to remember, that we're in the sukkah. We're being tended to. That he kept us. He gave us food to eat, water to drink. He was my provider because there was no provision. There was not a garden, one planet. Not one garden. He provided for them. He said, remember when you dwelt in tents, I was with you. We come out of that, and then we got this season. And we're supposed to, what did the world turn to? They turned to the sun god. And they believing it's going to, you know, during this time, this lull, it's all going to come back, and it's going to be this wonderful springtime. What do we turn to? We turn through Yeshua HaMashiach, the Most High, the Heavenly Father who's faithful to us. And he was faithful all these years. He said he'll be faithful to us. That's what we do. But let a man examine himself. And it's very important that we do that. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself. Notice that. Judgment to himself. Here's what happens. Not discerning the master's body. If you're going to do it for the right reason. Not because it's a get-together. And that's what the Corinthian church had started treating it like it was just a get-together. Hey, you come into the gathering, it's not just a get-together. Remember, it's the Lord's body. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't it mean something to you? And it should. For this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So he's saying that people who are sickly and people who have died because they didn't take this into consideration. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's really simple. We ought to judge ourselves rightly. Because if you don't, you will be judged at some point. And that when you stand before the judge, you don't want to be judged then, knowing that you had all the availability to you to judge yourself rightly. If you read in the scripture that that's what you shouldn't do, and you continue to do that, and you continue to do it, at first it could just be a weakness. But if your allegiance is to do it, if you say, well, I'm going to do it, no, I don't care what people think. That's a heart change in an allegiance. You better be careful. Because it's not what people think. It's what Messiah thinks. And he's saying, I don't understand this. I give you life. And you're not going to recognize what my blood and body did? As often as you do it in remembrance of me. How many understand that? So, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the master, that we should not be condemned with the world. So it's all it is. So it comes to our understanding. How many has ever had that conviction come to you? And you felt, I'm sorry. I ask you to forgive me. Why did I say that? Why did I think that? That's all good stuff. That's all good stuff. Very good. Because when we are judged, we are chastened of the master, that we should not be in condemnation of the with the world. Wherefore, my brother, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man's hungry, let him eat at home, that he would come together unto that ye come not together into condemnation. The rest will I set in order when I come. So he tells them that. So let's get back to Corinthians again, chapter 7, verse 18. He says, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not be uncircumcised. Who is he speaking to if he's calling his circumcision already? He's talking about the Jews. Does the Jew become uncircumcised? No. Something that they follow, that's fine. You grew up in that culture. So he said, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Now we got the twain, right? We got the two. They're different. One circumcised, the other never was circumcised. What does he say? He said, let that one stay the same and let this one stay the same. Circumcision is nothing. Paul, you're a heretic. Are you crazy to make a statement like that? They will drag him out in the street and stone him. That's why they beat him, put him in prison, stoned him. He's saying stuff like this. They don't tolerate that kind of stuff. Circumcision is nothing. Have you read Exodus? Can you see the point that they're making? And uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of Yahweh. Well, I thought that was a commandment of Yahweh, because the last I read it, it said Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Are thou called being a servant? Care not for it. If thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Notice this. For he that is called in the master, being a servant, is the master's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Messiah's servant. But by now we're a bit confused. One's free, the other's a servant. What to do here? You ready for this? You are bought with a price. And if you're bought with money, how many see that? You are bought with a price. Be not the servant of men. We need to go back to Exodus 12, don't we? And Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money. But you are bought with a price. Paul said this. He said, I'm not trying to leave this commandment. He said, I'm just telling you, you are misunderstanding it. I'm going to clear this up for you. All you Gentiles, you're struggling, and the Jews is telling you, you got to do this and do that. I'm going to tell both of you, listen to me careful. If you come out of the circumcision camp, then don't become uncircumcised. If you come out of the uncircumcised camp, don't be circumcised. I'm going to tell you right now, this is how it works. You are bought with a price. If you're bought with a price, and that price is what Messiah did, then you have to accept the circumcision of Christ. He's the Passover. Do you see the struggle they're having? But they were forgetting what he did for them, and just become a gathering. It all makes sense. And when thou hast circumcised him, then let him eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. What? When we look at that, verse 28, we just covered 28. We're dealing with that verse. And we're not finished because we got to do a little more tomorrow. There is neither Jew nor Greek. What? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. How many understand that a little bit better now? There's neither male nor female. I'll deal with that tomorrow a little bit. I should do it tonight and just get past that. I think I might. It ain't even 9 o'clock yet. I'm warming up. Let me just deal with that part and I'll skip it tomorrow, because maybe I need to skip it tomorrow for some reason. How many see that neither male nor female? Well, let me just tell you what's happening with that. There's organizations in the world today that are taking that verse in the, I don't even know what you want to call it, but the transgenders or whatever, right? And they're going around in blogs and speeches and video, YouTubes, and the churches, and the Christian churches are around, a large amount of Christian churches are very acceptable now to the LGBT community because of that statement of Paul. There's neither male nor female. You can be gender neutral. Paul said it because we're under the banner of the love of Christ. And by the thousands, churches are accepting this. If you want to do a little research, go on and do it. It won't take you long to find it, but it's actively happening now. That's what happens when you take a portion of Scripture and you go on and do that type of mindset sets in. So what do we do with the rest of the Scripture? But that's what I'm talking about. You can take a statement like that, there is neither male nor female, and say, we're gender neutral. Now, who here in their right mind thinks that's what Paul meant? What is he dealing with? He's trying to let us know that it don't matter if you're a man or a woman or a Jew or a Greek. I mean, see that. Or you're a slave or you're a free person. For ye are all one in Messiah Yeshua. He's the one that comes in and cleans the slate. And he says, this is how we're going to get it done. It don't matter where you grew up, what you was born into. You got to come underneath the one umbrella of the Father and the Son who activates that in your life by what Christ did on the cross. That's what he's saying. But that, can you imagine that? And it's happening all over. Some of the biggest name preachers are going right along with it. They'll get on TV and they'll be asked a question and they'll say, well, you know, we're evolving. The church is evolving to be more acceptance. Paul said, there's neither male nor female. Really? Have you lost your mind? But that's what's happening. You'll take that statement and pull it off that page, off the whole thing we've been looking at. I've read this, I don't know how many times. I ain't never got that. But when I came across it, and I just put that in the search bar, there's neither male nor female, put that in the search bar, and all of a sudden you go, huh? Are you serious? And I'm talking about big mega churches are using that right there, and they're having more. We're all inclusive. We want people to know that they can come and have a place here, and they meeting God from their point of view, and we're meeting from our point of view. We don't have to agree totally. We just want to give them a house to come and worship in. Wow. What's going to happen? Well, the way I see it, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It won't be long. That he will want to be she. And she will want to be he. And at the onset, they never had those thoughts. But if you let that in, and that's exactly what happened. Paul never said that. I highlighted it, and I was going to cover it in the morning, but I'm glad I got that over with. I got that out of my system. I don't need to spend more time than that to tell you that type of teaching that's happening today is a bunch of nonsense. It's complete nonsense to take that statement. And so maybe you know somebody that's taken that statement or you've heard of it. If you want to look at it and research it for yourself, you can. But I would hope that you would see the context that Paul is speaking in. It has nothing to do with that. But it just amazed me to see it. And I couldn't believe the blogs that were on it. It's absolute craziness. So hopefully tonight we got enough done to kind of move us along, because I got to get to the fourth chapter here. At some point, we got to get there. So we're going to try to get moving along and maybe hit fourth chapter in the morning, somewhere thereabouts. And so I appreciate your time. I thank God for you. I hope that this has helped you tonight to see these things and look at how amazing the Lord is. We thank God for you. Does anybody here need prayer for anything?